Bill, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Well, hi, Jane. Thank you. And thank you especially for your continuing interest in the programs at Iris Book Cafe and Gallery.
Well, right now, the work of photographer John Gannis is filling those walls. And you're the curator of the Iris exhibitions. And this show is an interesting exception in some ways to those you usually present. The photographs are all in color rather than the usual black and white that we see there. And the title tells us that this show wants us to learn something specific from it. It's called John Gannis, Consuming the American Landscape. What's John Gannis showing us?
John Gannis is showing us work from 20 years of crisscrossing the North American continent, primarily in the continental United States, from Alaska to Alabama, photographing what he calls the overdeveloped and under-respected lands of America. And what Robert Sobieczak, who wrote the introduction to the book of the same title, Consuming the American Landscape, what he calls work that mediates between the idyllic and the apocalyptic. And I think that's a good description.
Can you tell us something more about the photographer himself? Where is he based?
John's based in Detroit. He teaches at the Center for Creative Studies. Actually, it's now called the College for Creative Studies. He went to Ohio Wesleyan University for his bachelor degrees and then University of Arizona for his master's degrees. That was a real hotbed of photography in the 60s, 70s, 80s. And the Center for Creative Photography is based there, which has the archives of some of the great photographers in the world.
Well, the thing that strikes me about the photographs in Consuming the American Landscape is that although they carry disturbing messages, they first attract us and attract our interest because of their beauty as artistic works. I'm thinking particularly of the piece called Nickel Smelter, which is an ordinary landscape that's made very interesting by faultless composition. And the identification of the scene comes as a shock. It says about it, historically, it's the largest single-point source of acid rain causing gases in North America. So this is really a double-barreled kind of thing. And that kind of surprise is exactly what the photographer sets out to give, I guess.
It is. A simple way of putting the same thing Sobieczak said about mediating between the idyllic and the apocalyptic is that they're beautiful and ugly at the same time. But the beauty is conveyed more in the imagery and the ugly in the reaction to the details, what John likes to call the punctum, which is a phrase from Roland Barthes, this thing that sort of pierces the overall impression of an attractive landscape. He's gotten criticism for making pictures of these environmental problems that look too nice. But I think it's very important that you're seduced by the beauty of the images, and then you appreciate what's being lost.
What's been the response to the show?
Very good. I'm really happy, but it goes beyond very good. There's an installation, for instance, we always do something quirky in the loo. I like to call it the loo because there's no bath in the bathroom, and toilet just doesn't sound right in America. So that's a room that has slightly greener paint in it and fluorescent lighting rather than incandescent track lights. So it shifts a little bit toward the green and blue. So we have a very, very large picture from the rainforest, the Ho Valley Forest and the Olympic National Forest Range in Washington, where if you look closely, you'll see some of the trees have blue ink on them, that's blue paint that they cut. And then to its right, a smaller picture of the same forest, completely clear cut. And on three different occasions that I've been at the gallery, people have emerged from that room because you're sort of enclosed in it. So you feel like you're in the rainforest. There's a slightly higher humidity in Luz also. And they've emerged from it crying. And that was true of a 70-something-year-old woman and a 20-something-year-old young lady covered in tattoos and piercings.
Well, I know that Gannis himself was here for an artist talk. How did that go? And how did he feel about the look of the exhibition?
He liked it. He liked it a lot. We've known each other for 25 years or so, which is one of the reasons I like to tap artists who are familiar with me, because it can be difficult to get exhibitions of this high a level into a space that people recognize from the words as a book cafe and gallery. And it's only the ones who know me and know the track record that are willing to say, sure, let's go. And he was very pleased with it. normally the artists find something in what a curator does, if you do it well, that they hadn't really learned about their work until they see it handled by someone else.
One of the interesting things about your Irish shows is that you frequently bring in well-recognized photographers who've not been seen here before, and I think John Gannis is an example of that. Is that part of your philosophy for the space?
Partly. I mean, I like showing local photographers too, but sometimes it's also work from them that hasn't been seen before, as you may remember from Michael Wilson's exhibition, where there was a major retrospective at the Westin, and we selected work called Head Bowed, Eyes Closed, No One Looking Around, which was his very first publication, and he had never exhibited it before. And the two complemented each other very well. Money is the problem, of course, but I'm looking at work from amazing artists from Czechoslovakia and France and England, as well as around the country and Cincinnati.
To go back to John Gannis for a moment, the Sierra Club will also have a program in conjunction with this show. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that's such an appropriate linkage?
Well, Sam McKinney is the chair of the Miami chapter of the Sierra Club, our local chapter. He's an urban planner, but he did his master's thesis on land use. And he was telling me that when you say words like land use and sprawl, it's like serving somebody a cup of sleepy time tea with two Valium on the side. But he's hoping that his talk will activate people's awareness of the significant importance of land use and that these pictures will serve as a springboard for his message. Sam McKinley's talk will be at IRIS, 1331 Main Street in OTR at 2 p.m. Sunday, December 15th.
Do you know what Gannis is working on now?
Yeah, I do, and it's a really good idea. He's been working on it. Of course, he photographed the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. He also photographed the BP oil spill in the Gulf, but he's been using a GPS program to show you what the new coastlines of the United States will look like with different degrees of sea rise. And he's been photographing what will be those new coastlines. In a way, it'll have the same kind of dual effect that these pictures have. You'll see pictures that don't have any ravage destruction going on in them, and yet you'll realize that what you're looking at may be lost soon. I think it'll be a very valuable body of work. It'll take him years, but he put 20 years into the previous work.
Will he do a book?
I imagine. This particular book was published, the book that represents the exhibition that's up now, was published in England and Germany, co-published in two languages, and it won the Stuttgart Book Prize. So he's got a track record now, so I'm sure there'll be publishers interested in the new book.
Well, thanks so much, Bill, for coming in to talk with us about your current and very interesting exhibition.
Thank you, Jane. It's always a pleasure.
We've been talking with William Messer, curator of the photography exhibition John Gannis, Consuming the American Landscape, on view at Iris Book Cafe and Gallery in Over the Rhine through December till January 3rd, I think.
That's right. We've decided to keep it up quite a while.
For more information, see wwvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jane Durrell.